NFL podcast. Lost the Cyclops Awards. Hard.
Welcome to another edition. That was quick. Of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. I'm over the Cyclops Awards, and I'm not even angry at the Cyclops Academy. My ear obviously is focused on the entire awards industry trying to frame us as a Susan Lucci type. That's not what we are. We're an important podcast. We're a popular podcast. We're beloved in a large pocket of football earth. So I don't need hardware. But at the same time, I really do need that validation. Give me the trophies. Mm.
Well, I've got a couple of bones to pick here. Well, first of all, 45% of our audience we hear is overseas. So Susan Lucci was a famous daytime soaps actress who would be nominated every year, not get the award. But we need more nominations for that. I think this was our first nomination in like 6 or 7 years. I wish we were Lucci right now.
I mean, from that angle, the Cyclops Corp or whatever they're called, like, deserve a little bit of credit for nominating us, or at least listening to whoever wanted to nominate us. But I'm with Dan. I view it as an inciting incident. The whole awards industry, I mean, drop a nuclear bomb on these people.
Can we at least clean up on the international market? Aren't there categories for American football in Australia where we got to be like Crikey Mike and the kangaroo? Like, isn't there someone we could defeat? Like, isn't there some tomato cans, some Peter McNeely's out there in the podcast industry and just get our confidence back?
Right. If you view us sort of as like a rising boxer, we need to clean up on a couple of chumps to kind of get our ranking up, and we can't even get about. We can't even get into the ring with anyone.
All right.
Well, it's absurd.
Clearly, we're over it. Thank you, money, for checking in. All right, here we are. The draft is one day away, and we got so much to get to. This is a big show. We are going to welcome back one of the great guests in the history of this show. And I won't say who it is, but I'll just say this guy is known to have some spicy draft takes. I'll leave it at that. Stick a pin in that. Also, the fourth annual Mark Sessler mock draft. The mock draft of record, ultimately. At least that's the way I look at it. And Mark, how are you feeling confidence-wise? I know there's a little bit of menace in the air this year, because I do feel like Greg has his eyes on the mock draft in a way, and maybe like sandbagging or and otherwise disrupt. He wants to be a disruptor this year, I feel like. Where do you come down in terms of confidence level, and do you sense that same air of menace?
Confidence couldn't be higher. I sense the menace, but I pay no attention to it. There always are going to be dark energies trying to take down something that must be brought to the light, something powerful and truthful. And it's like, you know, I was just watching JFK, the director's cut the other night. And like, you know, sometimes the biggest enemy could be right in your own house. I mean, Kevin, you know, what Costner's attempting to, you know, change history and solve one of the biggest mysteries of time. And Sissy Spacek, the wife, cannot get off his act. You know, why weren't you home for dinner? We waited for three. I mean, it's like interviewing like Clay Bertrand, trying to like crack the biggest case in government history. It's like, settle down, Sissy Spacek. So, you know, point being, as I'm putting this mock draft together and literally made changes 5 or 6 minutes ago, working with the social team to put out some art that will go with it right after the show airs. So, you know, I'm focused on production, not the enemy.
So
feel a little bit like a projection though from Dan. Like, I love the mock draft. When Mark was sending out, hey, should we do the mock drafts? So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's keep doing it.
Don't Dan play your totally role. Just play your
Dan,
role.
Dan is just projecting. He doesn't like any segment that he didn't come up with. And it's like, you know, he's trying to say, I don't like it. I bring it on. I want some mock drafts.
All right. Well, that was typical Greg there. No, I love it. I'm looking forward to it. And if you are New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison, Mark, you have to be prepared for there to be a lot of outcry coming against you as well, because that wasn't a very popular, he wasn't a very popular figure in his time for a lot of
people. No, he was, they tried to unspool his entire reputation, and I'm prepared for that too. In fact, it's a little easier for me. I go in with no reputation. So, you know, good luck unspooling it.
And Greg, what I'm trying to do, we've been doing this for many years, is set up a little like yin and yang and have some fun with it. You tried to defuse the podcast itself.
I didn't get that. And then what I do is I fire back when you come with the BS. See, that's what it all happens.
Okay, so there we go. Set up very well, masterfully. All right, before any of that, though, we do it every year, and we're doing it again this year. We make predictions ahead of the draft, but we do it in a little bit of a different way. We have some fun with it. They're sandwich props. You know by now what it's all about. The misophonies out there, deal with it. That's just a part of the segment. Mark, I know you're cringing a little bit too. You're part of that community. Yeah. Don't take offense to it. It's just getting people in the mindset. We go around the horn a few times, make a prediction. You get the chance to either say, you know what? I think your prediction about draft weekend is accurate, so I'll stand down. Or you challenge that person and you wager a sandwich. So with that in mind, and Mark, I am very excited for your mock draft. In general, I like the idea of you being at the center of this episode. So I want you to start this sandwich prop exercise thrown out there.
All right. Are we going to be doing two or three? Because that will dictate what I put
out
there.
Let's say definitely two. And then depending where we are time-wise, maybe a three, like a speed round.
I got four written down. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to start with the card, just getting out of neutral. Very football-oriented one here. Zach Ertz will not be a Philadelphia Eagle by the end of the draft.
All right.
Very basic, just a prop for basics.
Let's set one in terms of just guidelines to make this nice and clean, because we're going to do, of course, a show tomorrow night after round one, and then we're going to do a show Saturday night after the conclusion of round seven. So let's make the runway here from right now until even taping time, till we get to this segment again in the back end of the Saturday show. So not only do you have all of the draft itself, you have that hour, 2 hours or whatever before we check in on these props. So you say Zach Ertz will be traded from the Eagles, Super Bowl hero Zach Ertz, by Saturday evening tape
Correct.
Time.
Yep.
Really starting with a bang here. I mean, this guy had 330 yards last year. Maybe he gets traded for a sixth round pick swap. He's the centerpiece of the draft. I kind of think he will too. But I
said the car was just getting out of neutral.
I know, but we only have three. I don't think I'm going to take you on it. It goes against my normal philosophy, but I'm with you. It doesn't make sense to me that he would stay on that roster.
I'll take you on it. I mean, the timing of it is you're putting it in a box like they have to move him to free up roster space or remove some type of issue they have. This could be something that comes after the draft. And I also, we've talked about Ertz a little bit. I know he looks slow and old, but he's actually not old. And maybe he was just banged up. So maybe they do keep him around. I will take you up on that sandwich.
All right.
All right. Let's all right, now that we got the appetizers out of the way, let's ramp things up.
Mine aren't really that exciting either. I talked.
Yeah, you set the bar now, Greg. I want to be blown away intellectually by what you come up with.
All right, let me jumpstart us here. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe the reunion with the New England Patriots goes down, and I'm thinking about that Seth Wickersham piece from a few years back. That highlighted the internal dysfunction at the time around power struggle with Belichick and Robert Kraft and Tom Brady's uncertain future at the time and Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the wings. And an element of that that deep dive was Belichick's frustration that he believed he had the next phase of his and final phase really of his career set up post Brady because he believed in Jimmy G. And he thought that he was a guy that could take the torch from Tom Brady and they could continue to thrive as an AFC superpower. Things didn't work out. Garoppolo got traded to the Niners. Brady, eventually they won Super Bowls after even that expose, but he eventually goes down to
Tampa
Bay.
Won an MVP even.
Won an MVP. A lot of things happened, including 2020 when the Pats went 7-9 with Cam Newton at a meh level. So I think rather than trade up and go get a quarterback. Where are they? 15 right now, Greg?
Yep.
Or have someone fall to them pick. I think it's more likely that he goes and gets Garoppolo with this depressed value. Ooh. The Niners obviously moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo Thursday night will become all but official. And that trade happens. And this is an onion hanger to get rolling here because the time element's tricky. Like, do you need to move Jimmy G draft weekend? Not necessarily, but I say it happens and it gives everyone a fresh start, including the Patriots.
Walla Walla is a big onion. Giant sweet Spanish onions are good.
That is an onion
red
hanger.
Red Zeppelin is a big red onion.
I'll take you up on that. I mean, I feel like I got it there. Part of me would be intrigued to see that. But I think I'm going to roll right into a related prop right after Mark.
Would you like to find
answer.
Out if I'm going to take him or not?
Did you hear what I said right after Mark gives his answer?
I should have held. Well, you know, I would wonder about one thing.
Wait, one second, Mark. Greg, you said Mark had an edge yesterday. You have the edge today.
I do.
What's going on?
Got my punchers. Yeah, I'm excited. It's draft week. I don't know. Didn't sleep much again. That's usually the factor if I'm a little edgy.
All right. I love it. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, no, I just wonder if, you know, part of it was you sent Jimmy G out to play an adult role somewhere else, and he is not durable enough. He can't stay healthy. He costs $26 million. Like, I wonder if maybe if you're the Patriots or Bill Belichick thinking, is this the best we can do? It can't be their number one plan, but I'll take you up on it because it's extremely spicy and there is some connective tissue that would send them back there. It makes some sense.
So I'm going to do my biggest onion hanger now. Usually save it for last. It's related and it relates to what I want to see. I always say, pick what you want to see happen. And what I want to see happen is Cam Newton play outstanding in 2021. And shut up all the honkers on Sports Talk Radio and Erica and everyone else and like go to the playoffs with Cam Newton playing well at 12-5. Because by the way, Patriots fans, you're not allowed to root for them if Cam Newton's great this year. You already jumped ship. It's too late. You got to find a new team. That's my number one thing. But you know,
not really how sports fandom works, but
you know what? It would be even better than that happening. Cam Newton doing all that with Justin Fields waiting in the wings. Everyone wanting Justin Fields to start week one, but he doesn't. And then Cam Newton plays so great all season that it's almost like a poor man's Mahomes and Alex Smith situation for 2021. And you got your quarterback of the future. And Cam, you know, that's a good problem to have. And he probably goes on to do other things after that. And one way or another that Justin Fields ends up on this Patriots team at the end of this draft.
I thought in terms of making an example, you would cite Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, sure. Which happened last year.
It's a lot to ask of Cam. I mean, the bar for me would be like top 12 quarterback in a good season.
It's a savvy sandwich prop because you're not actually the part that's hanging onions is Cam Newton then playing and being a big time quarterback, but that's not part of the wager here.
I mean, if you don't think Fields to the Patriots is hanging onions, you know, tell all your friends to make that wager because I think you could get, you know, probably plus seven, you know, 7-1 at most, at least odds. I mean, that is pretty unlikely.
I mean, what I mean by that is, yes, the field in terms of that, yes, that's also whenever you're trying to peg a player to a team, we've learned in this exercise many a times, it usually doesn't work out. But I don't know, like the thing. Did you see enough from Cam last season to think he has like MVP level type play still in his body?
Right. The Cam part is just I'm just letting the people know my personal feelings, but for this exercise, it's all about Justin Fields. And no matter what Cam does this year, I would love to see Justin Fields on this Patriots team. And I do think Cam would be a good sort of quarterback mentor and a veteran to have there, whether Justin Fields, if he was on the Patriots, was starting in week one, or not at all. I think Cam would be a nice compliment for him.
I'll take you up on it. It always concerns me when Greg's starts to get fascinated over another quarterback that, you know, it looks to be at best a middle of the road patch, but here we are again. So it foreshadows what we're dealing with Cam Newton for the next 4 months on this podcast.
I mean, I since this podcast has started, since he entered the league, Cam's been one of my favorite players.
That's
he's
fine.
On my favorite team. Why wouldn't I be
MVP,
rooting for
though?
Him?
But it's like, it's Teddy Bridgewater. It's Geno Smith. Well, it's Cam Newton. Like you.
Greg's defense, Mark, you were the one that was going nuts about Cam signing with the Pats last summer, thinking that he was going to be Cam still, but he's not. He's not Cam anymore. He's just a guy.
It'd be fun. Well, Justin Fields is a guy that it is hard to figure, and maybe we'll talk with Spicy about it, but it is hard to figure how he's potentially falling because it's not just the athleticism. It's the fact that I think if you broke it down and you asked all the people, who's the most accurate of all these quarterbacks? Accuracy. just like the most important thing. It's probably Justin Fields. Like, who had the most plays downfield where he put it on the guy's hands, just like Russell Wilson? It's probably Justin Fields.
Greg, they seem like totally blowing the lid off our surprise guest, by the way.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. Little punk teenager, by the way, that gave Cam grief at Cam's camp a couple of months back. He's going to seek out Cam again if Justin Fields gets drafted. He's going to come after him hard. Yep. So keep an eye on that subplot. All right.
You both are taking me up on that?
Sure.
I'll take you up on it because, yeah, like I said, it's very hard to match a player and team specifically unless it's the very top of the draft. And the Patriots, I know you've said they've traded up aggressively in the first round before, but they haven't done it to get a quarterback. So,
and not often. To be clear, they've traded down way, way, way more. So, yeah, you're right.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
All right,
Let's keep like Dallas Goedert out of this, Anthony Becht.
I had a Becht one here, but I'll bypass it. Okay, so, you know, big exciting scene in Cleveland. People are out and about. They've been vaccinated. From what I know about Cleveland, that place is going to be lubed up. And I'm just saying that there will be, and this will be caught on camera, they will have, and by they I mean authorities at the, you know, outdoor draft area, a problem with an animal running wild. Could that be like a police horse or could it be something or other? There's going to be, it'll be a subplot. I'm not talking about like a monkey riding a dog as a piece of entertainment, but an animal they don't want out of control, creating some level of chaos by, again, the end of the seventh round.
Well, you got to take this whenever there's an animal involved here. I mean, that's one of my rules with like a wild animal prop from Mark.
Always take the wild animal.
I mean, yeah, if they like bring out the brown dog, didn't he pass away? But they probably got a new one.
What you say about dogs, that they pass away? I guess. Yeah, I mean, he did. He passed on.
Pass away is kind of a stupid.
You could say the dog died.
I don't really like passing away anyways. You're right. That dog died, right? But they got a new dog. Don't they have a doggy?
I don't think it's related to
that him like trotting out, to, you know, with like Jim Brown to make the 72nd pick or whatever does not count. But I'll take you up on that.
Well, that's not running wild. I mean, this animal, they're chasing him. You know, you've got figures of authority chasing the animal. So,
and in case that dog has indeed passed away, rest in power, Brown's dog.
It did pass away. It's gone.
No such. By the way, you always have to know. With the sandwich prop game, the loopholes. You do not get caught in a loophole. Human beings are animals. And Cleveland sports fans are animals. If there's some guy, drunk, fat guy streaking through the quad or whatever, like, does that count as an animal?
No. You are correct. But I'm not putting them in the category of animals. I mean, like something that you'd like to temper and domesticate to some or do your bidding.
Well, that I was about to make an antiquated. Hey, that's what wives do. Oh,
well, okay, not humans, to be clear.
I hope I'm wrong on this one. If we get like a Buffalo Bill marauding through a huge crowd of people, that would be fun.
Be fantastic. Like
74 dead, but Mark wins.
No,
his prop.
I don't want anyone to die.
There you go, Mark. You're always wagering things that are around human misery. What's that say about?
I think this would be joyful. I think it would be exciting. Personally,
700 killed in Buffalo Bill stampede. Mark wins chicken farm sandwich. All right. I'm next. All right. You know, I like it, Greg. I like your angle. Pick what you want. Remember, I did a sandwich prop last regular season that the Jets would be in playoff contention in December. Didn't believe it, but I wanted it to happen. So I'll do this again with the Jets. They trade up in the first round. There's zero onions to be found with their second overall pick. We all know where that's going. But they're picking 23rd overall. A lot of people are mocking a defensive lineman because of the Robert Saleh stuff. And I in Saleh we trust. But at the same time, I would be a little bit like, okay, we've been down that road. I would like to see them, if there's not some like incredible offensive lineman that's fallen down the board, I would like to see them trade up in the first round, take some of this stockpiling of draft picks they have over the next couple of years, and pair that with the 23rd overall pick and grab whoever that wide receiver that everybody loves that ends up falling into the middle of the pack. So if there's somebody sitting I was going to say 15, but the Jets and Patriots aren't going to trade a draft pick most likely. But in that zone, I'd like to see the Jets go up. So they trade up in the first round and they take a wide receiver. Let's go.
I love it.
Yeah, that's spicy. And I think they could certainly use one. I've seen some analysis that it's like a big need. I don't quite go there. I mean, you've got Denzel Mims. You just spent a lot of money on Corey Davis. You spent a lot of money on Keelan Cole for a fourth receiver. You still have Jamison Crowder on the roster. Maybe he's not on the roster by the end of this draft if they make that move. But I like it, and I'll take you.
I just think they're okay.
They're okay. No, I agree. It's just not like a massive need. They need some cornerbacks. They need some offensive linemen, I think.
Right. And you, from what we understand in this draft, the offensive line, you could find some depth there. There's some depth to that position. And then you absolutely target that in the second and third rounds.
Another edge rusher. I know they signed Carl Lawson, but he's kind of it.
They have a lot of needs. They have a lot of needs. But I like the idea of them saying, we are going to not only bring this quarterback in, but immediately give ourselves a boost on the offensive side of the ball. That's why I'd even be okay if they went and got the running back, Najee Harris. I if they just make a splash on offense and say, we are building a core that will scare people on Sundays, which it hasn't happened in forever. Everybody taking me on it?
I am, because I think there's a couple little factors. Like the defensive tackle class we're all hearing outside of like one or two guys is abysmal. They could go edge, but I think something you said and mentioned was one of these key receivers tumbling down the board a little bit to where they'd say, you know what, we're going after it. And they may not be alone. There might be competition for that. But why not overcorrect and add too much around your new quarterback?
I'll give you a perfect example. Forever? CD Lamb last year. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought he was going to go potentially 5 to 10. And then when he started falling into the teens, the Cowboys, they went and got him. Who's that guy in 2021? Because there probably will be. All right, Greg.
All right, I'm going to just be very specific and say the Broncos get their quarterback in the first round, that they take a quarterback in the first round. I think they're a candidate to trade up. I'm not going to get overly specific. I feel like this is close to a coin flip, and that's not so bad. Not everything needs to be on thing. I would say if you looked in Vegas, for instance, this would be about a coin flip. I think it'd be a slight underdog that they would take their quarterback. I just can't imagine them getting out of this draft without it. How can you go into the season on the last year of Vic Fangio's chance, in my mind, with a pretty good roster with Drew Lock? So one way or another, my picks, I just realized, are kind of clashing, because for the Patriots to get Fields, you know, that doesn't leave as many for the Broncos. But let's go Broncos. Get it, Broncos.
Well, you're kind of betting on them. You're betting on two horses, which is fine. Yeah. One of them will win. I like it. Maybe. Think they've traded up. They've tried everything to get these quarterbacks. I mean, Elway's record at this is pretty terrible. Does it happen if Fields doesn't fall to them, for instance? I'll take you on it, but there aren't a lot of, you know, breadcrumbs about them being aggressive on that front.
No, Detroit could be a spot. The Detroit feels like the spot where maybe someone trades up, whether it was the Patriots or the Broncos for that matter.
I'm not going to take you on it. I think that's what they do. I think they're due for a splash here. And Drew Lock had his chance. He didn't cut the mustard, as they say. Did not play the guitar very well. A bunch of bum strings. You know, he kept on hitting the wrong chords. Speaking of the quad, you know, he's trying to strum Wonderwall and trying to make some hot babe swoon, hit all the wrong notes.
I tell you. Play the guitar and Good Little Boys are nominees in our phrase of the year so far.
So at number 9, that's a good spot if someone falls, or they have ammunition to move up a couple picks if need be. So yeah, the smart play in this game is to take just about everything, but I really do think, and they don't have, who's their backup right now?
They don't have one. It's still Driscoll and Rippon.
Right. And I think that's by design, because I think there's the Independence Day spaceship coming over Empire State Building setup happening here. Locke gets bumped to the backup or the temporary starter, and then the kid is there waiting in the wings, and there's your quarterback room. All right. Let's do it one more time, and then we'll get to the mock draft.
All right. So like Greg, I am betting on two different horses, because I like what I want to just say real quick is what I sense happening in America. is like a bacchanalia is going to be descending on us this summer. You're going to have a lot of people that have been trapped in homes and houses going absolutely crazy. And I mean, I'm talking about all people in different stations of life. So this is really one of the first big outdoor public events. So I've talked about an animal running wild, which feels of the spirit of the weekend. The second thing that I've suggested, and I believe will happen, and laugh at me now and then find out later that I'm correct, we will see a naked body part during NFL Network or ESPN's coverage of the 2021 draft. Unintended. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't think I'm not talking a player probably, but who knows? But you know, there's gonna be a lot of weird stuff, crowd shots. I guarantee we get something that they did not dial up intentionally.
You know, I like to like think about in the lead up to a show, whenever we tape, like, you know, how's the show going to go? What are the mechanics of it? And I was thinking to myself, like, Marquez's mock draft, that's going to be a little tricky for him because he might step on some of his props. But little did I know, Mark had it in his back pocket. He was just going to talk about naked people and animals running through
the center of Cleveland. He didn't have a prop about a draft pick. He went Ertz. He went like
that's what I mean. He kept that. He totally cleared out.
A backup tight end and naked body part. Well, this is tricky because we have to define the body part. I mean, my arm isn't my forearm naked right now?
I had a feeling that question would come, and I think it's a fair question. I wouldn't try it. I'm not going to try to. It's
got
to
be a private part.
Well, I'm not going to pull one over on you guys by saying, oh, look, we saw someone's, you know, hand extending up the wrist and arm area. It's like we're talking about something that should not be seen in public.
It's three. Are you counting the heinies?
A butt? Like a naked butt?
Yeah.
Yeah, naked butt that would is not count. Intentionally.
All right, so we'll do the two B's, the V, and the P.
Mm-hmm. That works. Or a combination of, you know, it could be more than one of those together in a combination.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, I'll take you up on it.
Dan's experience speaking with five-year-olds is really coming in handy. That's where we're at. Yeah, I'll definitely take you up on that. That's ridiculous.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Finally... All right, excluding Jimmy G, who I've already, said is moving in a trade. But let's keep him out of this conversation. There will be another quarterback who started football game or games in 2020 on the move via trade before Saturday night. So forget about Jimmy G, take him out of it. Any other quarterback, a starting quarterback in 2020, one of them gets dealt. And put some thought into this. I'm thinking about who are those guys? Okay, I'll give them to you. Teddy Bridgewater. Well, Greg, you still got to go. I don't know where you're going with your last one. But Teddy Bridgewater could be on the move. Cam, hypothetically, could move. Mason Rudolph started that game against Cleveland, right? Am I right?
Yep. Yeah. So one starter more.
Gardner Minshew, Drew Locke, hell, Jordan Love. I mean, the Packers obviously are deep in on Aaron Rodgers once again. I think one of those guys, but it could be anybody that started a game, moved over from Thursday to Saturday night.
Almost seems like very probable or possible, but I'm going to take you up because sometimes these drafts just drift by and none of these things happen. And I'll sit on that side of it. But, you know, that means even someone we're not talking about, by the way, if you're like Brian Hoyer and you don't have a team and you started a game that it has to be a legit trade, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's a trade. And I'll take you up. Yep.
Teddy or Minshew. I mean, those two would be the ones I'd have circled.
Wow,
I'm struggling. Well, I don't like not taking it, but I'm gonna not take it.
Wow, I'm stunned. All right, good.
I'm gonna go with my final prop as no running backs get taken in the first round. I've enjoyed some of these shows talking about different props. It's interesting of like different ways you can talk. But our friends established the run, Evan Silva. And Leviton, they're on the other side of this. They think even maybe more than one go. But I think in today's NFL, Najee Harris to the Steelers is the one everyone's talking about. But if that doesn't happen, I think teams could wait. Javonte Williams maybe is another little prop there that as the first running back off the board that I like. But I don't think it'll be in the first round. No running backs in the first round.
I'll definitely take you because I'm looking down from around like 27 on. And I see some real targets for running backs, and I could see a team trading back up to like 32 or something just to make sure that you got the Jets sitting at number two, right, in the second round. I think they're going running back there, so you got to try to get ahead of them.
I'll take you on it, and I think there is obviously a little bit of an industry. People are spooked, and I think they feel like they're not on the right side of history when you take a running back now, unless he's a Saquon Barkley generational type guy. I think these teams are now, they have it in their minds, and a lot of it is a herd mentality, like, hey, the smart football teams don't do this, and we're not we don't want to be a dumb football team. So I think some of that factors in too. So I'm gonna say I agree that there will not be, but I also know, because I've done this before, Greg, and it's always a little bit tricky on draft night when we play this game, and then you have to go through the whole draft and you have to be like, don't pick a running back when you get to that 25, 26, 27, 28. So I admire that you did this, and I purposely stayed away from these type of wagers this week for that reason. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be nervous when the Steelers are on the board. That's the moment that now I'll be anxious. Or another team.
All right. And of course, Nick Fortier over at gogetmylunch.org has been tracking this stuff religiously for years. And he's also on Twitter at gogetmylunch. You could see the all-time standings, you could go back for years now and check out how we did in past drafts. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It usually doesn't go well. It's kind of fun. He's even got a soundboard over there on gogetmylunch.org for some of the funny drops of all time. So go check that out. And Nick, thank you again for all that you've done for the show. All right. Let's go. Let's get to it. It's time. Mark Sessler. You know, we've always waited for this mock draft because everyone's sick of the know-it-alls, the people that they're braggy and they say, oh, here's mock point 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. Put me on NFL Network. Oh, this is the tape I was chewing up. I'm a real tape dog. That's not you. That's not Mark Sessler. Mark is the guy.
I put in the work.
I know who these guys are. I've watched a college football game. Like, that's not you. What you do, you lay in the weeds and you wait till the draft eve, and then you drop a hammer that really affects the industry. And here we are again, the fourth annual Mark Sessler mock draft. How you feeling right now?
Well, I'm feeling good. And I think you hit on something that all these other people doing so much work, I take a completely different approach, which is do essentially about 40 minutes of work and lean heavily on all these other tape guys that have done the hard work. In life, I think that just starts to make sense as you creep up in age. And so I've leveraged that, done very little, but I know the industry is waiting, all eyes on what will happen over the next 30, 40 minutes.
You're more honest. A lot of people, I think.
Wait, this is going to last for 40 minutes?
Well, the reverb, like, yeah, I mean, even after the show ends,
he said he put 40 minutes of work into it. And I think you're just more honest. That's what we should call it. Mark Sessler's honest mock draft.
Oh, I like that.
The rest of them, come on.
And you could be like, if you want to look at it from a different angle, you could be like, you know how Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football, friend of the show, he's turned his body into a temple 24/7. His diet is outrageous. The intake, the amount of working out he does in the gym, and he studies all this. You're more like the 7-minute abs of the draft industrial complex.
I mean, if that, so you're absolutely right.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's get to it.
All right, Ricky, I believe we have a
Mark's 2021 mock draft is.
All right, how would you like? You want me just to read these off? How do we just one by one here? You can comment.
Nice, and, you know, that's a nice setup. Okay, go ahead.
All right, with the first pick in the draft, I'm not going to go like announce the same draft over and over like Roger Goodell. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they take Trevor Lawrence. We know that. What do we even need to say about that?
Yeah, we probably don't need to do pick by pick analysis here.
Okay, number two, the New York Jets, they take Zach Wilson. Of course they do, quarterback BYU. Okay. Very smart move.
And you know what's funny about that? Like, we've heard so much now about why he's not the pick. It actually weirdly makes me feel better about it because Sam Darnold checked all the boxes of a guy that would work, didn't work. this guy, oh, his schedule is soft, his body frame's not right, he's a kid from Utah, can't handle New York. Great. All that makes sense. It's why it's going to work this time. It's the summer of George theory. Go ahead.
I'm totally with you. Number three pivot point in the 2021 draft, the San Francisco 49ers annoy many by taking Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people are still keeping Lance or Fields in this spot. It's not that many. It's definitely the minority. Mac Jones is the popular pick, and I would be shocked if it's not Mac Jones at this point.
And we talked about it on Tuesday's show, the Ian Rappaport report ruling out Justin Fields. You know, if you wanted to build an intrigue to the draft, but you didn't want to give it all away, that's the thing I wouldn't have given away. Justin Fields is the guy that's kind of like the wild card. If they would have drafted him, ooh, that's very juicy. Now I'm just like, get it over with. You're not taking Fields. One of these guys should be okay or not. I don't know. Go ahead.
All right, number four, there's going to be a lot of reports of the Falcons. You know, the phones are going to be ringing. People want to get up there to get, you know, quarterback X, but they stay right at home and take Kyle Pitts, tight end, out of Florida. Possibly the best player in the entire draft.
This is where either the mock draft industrial complex will like go off target or not, because ESPN's now saying this pick is happening. They're straight out reporting it, Fowler and Graziano. So this is where everyone's got Pitts.
I mean, right, he needs to be Tony Gonzalez great or whatever. Like DJ was on her show this month and said, don't get hung up on these tight ends coming into the league and not being as great as advertised. This guy's basically a wide receiver in a tight end's body and all that stuff. Well, he better be a superstar, because as I've said, I think they have so much leverage here. They could do a franchise reset with this fourth pick potentially. But you know what? If Pitts is a super stud, it's the right move.
Yep. Number five, you know, I didn't just like create drama just for the sake of it. I think there are some safe things happening. There are reports that the Detroit Lions have tried to trade up to this spot where the Bengals are at, and the Bengals aren't having anything to do with it, which tells me, because the Lions want a wide receiver, that the Bengals do too. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU, being paired with his old teammate, Joe Burrow.
Like it.
I'd be bummed. I feel like I was thinking about a sandwich prop that Penny Sewell? If I'm a Cincinnati fan, I'm thinking, geez, we saw it right there. We have this young quarterback that's such a stud, and we almost got him killed last year. And then you see this guy is seen as a real big time lineman prospect, and he's sitting there for you, and you go get a wide receiver. I don't know. I'm not about that.
It's interesting though, because Pitts and Chase, I think are as like universally beloved and as hyped, and I think as like believed to be as safe and good a pick as any at their positions in the last 8-10 years. And it's sort of been overshadowed because of all these quarterbacks, but like, I think Pitts is coming in with a better pedigree than any tight end in 20 years, at least maybe ever. And then Chase is close. So I get it.
Okay. All right. Number six, Ricky, we have a trade.
Trade alert.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right. The Carolina Panthers move up.
That triggered my misophonia.
Yeah, I would imagine. The Dolphins were here. The Panthers conduct a trade with the Dolphins, and they throw a little bit of a curveball. They take Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
It'd be fun.
I like that.
This is where Mark's starting to set himself apart. So far, he's gone all chalk, and this is spicy. This is special.
Yeah, and I can't believe that. It felt like such a good sandwich prop. Nobody threw out there the Panthers what they're going to do on draft day. And this, I like this one. You're all flying right, now.
You're finding out now what they're going to do. Ricky, we have a trade at number seven.
Trade alert.
All right. The New England Patriots. You know, Matt Patricia isn't there anymore, but they still have their little friends inside the building in Michigan. And they trade with the Lions, and they go get Greg's boy, Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State.
Hey, I love it. It's Mark's 2021 mock draft.
I mean, you just won me some sandwiches. I don't know who are their friends inside Detroit's building. I'm unaware that like there's many people left over. Matt Patricia is with the Patriots, though. So maybe that would help. Probably not. But I love it. Let's do it. You just want some sandwiches.
Why do I feel somewhat like obligated to let the audience know that, yes, for better or worse, many of the drops in the show, I work with Ricky on this one. I was hands off. This is an Erica Mark Sessler drop joint. I want everybody to know that. All right, keep going.
This goes back to my point earlier.
Smart to wash your hands of that. Hey, Ricky, number eight, we have a trade.
Trade alert.
Now Greg's annoyed by that too. All right. The Vikings, the Dolphins were sitting here at eight after the Panthers trade. The Dolphins, Chris Greer, man, he is on the psilocybin. He is moving up and down the board. He allows the Vikings into the spot. Another trade. The Vikings go up and they get Penei Sewell, offensive tackle, Oregon. That's the one thing I think they might do if they were to move up the board. Solidify that line for a change.
I'm intrigued by the Vikings in this draft. I think they're an outside upset candidate to take a quarterback that falls to.
That's possible. Number nine, the Denver Broncos. Well, they're a little bit out of this quarterback mix. They weren't aggressive enough. They go Patrick Surtain, cornerback, Alabama. We just talked about him with Chase Goodbread on yesterday's show.
Can't do it.
Did you move him in the draft just because I said you'd have him go to the Cowboys?
That is correct.
Thanks for your honesty. I appreciate it.
That's amazing. That a little peek behind the curtain there. Yeah, if the Denver Broncos go into 2021 with Drew Lock as the unquestioned starter, they get everything they deserve. They will, trust me.
All right, number 10, the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they were divided. Some of them wanted Patrick Surtain, but you know, a higher power came in and altered the result. They get J.C. Horn, South Carolina cornerback. They need defense. They said they do it. Jerry Jones has his little Kyle Pitts fascination, but you're not getting him this time or ever. All right. Like the crowd's going wild.
Like it. I was thinking of our guest. Do we want our guest to jump into this segment or we want to hold off for now? What do you think?
I think we should give him his own world.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hold off.
But we're getting that part of the draft where you're feeling like, let's speed it up a little here. So New York Giants at number 11, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama. Suddenly, that offense looks fiery, spicy.
This is my whole theory. If you're not sure on a young quarterback, build up around him and then give him a chance, which is kind of what I wanted the Jets to do with Darnold. Do it with Daniel Jones. If you have Kenny Galladay and now you have Jalen Waddle, and you have Evan Engram and Saquon back and Sterling Shepard's in the mix, and that's a nice group. Okay.
Yes, it is. All right. Number 12, we have a trade, Ricky.
Trade alert.
All right. Las Vegas trades with the Eagles to move up to number 12, and they get an offensive tackle they've needed out of Northwestern, Rashawn Slater.
Oh, my gosh. Ricky, I mean, I know we're in the middle of a mock draft, but we have some big breaking news in real life, which just blew up our whole show. Come on, people. The Panthers are trading quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a sixth-round draft pick, according to Tom Pelissero. Nice to meet you, Tom. Wait, that just ruined my whole Broncos.
So I've just lost a sandwich prop, by the way.
Well, that, and you know what? Yeah, that... It felt like they were doing the Independence Day move. They didn't have anybody in the quarterback room behind Lock. And now they have Teddy Bridgewater.
Trade alert.
You said
during the draft.
Oh, no, that's a sandwich prop. That was locked in, baby.
Okay. Well, I didn't take you up on it. So ultimately that gives me a chance to pat myself on the back. So I'll agree with that.
I mean, winners and losers list. Patrick Surtain of the Broncos starting to look.
Yeah, that looks probable. Better. That looks better. Wow. Just before we move on, I don't think that totally rules out the Broncos taking a quarterback in round one. This is a sixth round draft pick, and it's a long term decision to take quarterback. And how can Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater confidently be their long-term quarterback? So I don't think it totally rules it out, but it certainly.
What does it mean for the Panthers too? So now you got Sam Darnold there. No true number two. Darnold's still holding his breath here. Put it that way.
By the way, I heard for some
set him up. Right.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dan. I think they might be picking. I know. Mark's got him moving up. And I just want to tell you, all the Broncos fans out there, when I kept pushing Teddy Bridgewater to Denver, and they're like, don't put that evil on us. Come on, don't do that. It's like, I did put that evil on you, and now he's on your team. Eat it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And I like him.
If this is what the Broncos solution is, this is like 4 minutes after I made my last comment, you're going to get what's coming to you, and that's it. It's just like Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, still not good enough.
It's a sixth-round pick who's probably not going to make your team, and I can confidently say their quarterback position is better. If Drew Lock never plays another snap and you play Teddy Bridgewater instead, you're still not in good shape, but you're better at the most important position for this year. So it totally makes sense for a sixth-round pick, and I'm sure the Panthers are eating most of the money
too. Well, as long as it doesn't prevent them from grabbing Fields if he fell to him. If they ever pass over that because of Teddy Bridgewater, you know,
totally
go hide out in the Rocky Mountains for 8 months.
Totally.
What an interesting trade in the middle of this particular show. Very interesting. All right, keep going, Mark.
All right. Number 13, the Chargers take Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State. Okay. Number 14, this is where the Vikings were. The Dolphins now finally sit home, and this worked out well for them. Devonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama. They pick up a bunch of picks and the guy they kind of wanted all along.
There it is. And that would be like the area where, with my sandwich prop, if whoever is that guy that falls there, go be aggressive and try to trade into that spot, because that feels like a great value. And just like with Daniel Jones, you're not totally sure about Tua yet. Give him Will Fuller, you know, give him Devontae Parker, and now give him one of the top rookies, wide receivers in the draft class, and see if he's playing that guitar.
Some people might think he's going to take him at six. If this happened, Mark, and I'm writing winners and losers, like, you know, for the website, they'll get a lot of like A's and winners. Nothing, you know, I fall for two. No, you know, people like more than trading back and getting guys people know.
That's dead on. All right, now where the Patriots were, the Lions are, and they take Kwity Paye, edge out of Michigan. Not as, you know, maybe high octane as you would have thought they'd go, but they could have gone quarterback or wide receiver at seven. But that defense needs all sorts of help.
So hard to pick who would be the first edge rusher. I feel like 1 through 6, it's like pick your poison. Anyone, you know, different teams are going to like different guys.
Yep. All right. Washington now. We have a trade, Ricky.
Wow.
Trade alert.
I mean, the number of trades, maybe a secondary trade drop, but that I'm out on that's the last thing.
I've lost that one like 12 times, so I didn't go down that road. But this is a bit of a more low oct. They're only moving up 4 spots to where Arizona was, and they take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker, Notre Dame. Very versatile player.
Smart. Okay. Smart pick.
Like what Solid I hear pick. About him. I like what I hear earlier than people think, but I like the cut of this guy's jib.
All right, we've got 17. The Eagles, where the Las Vegas Raiders were, take Aziz Ojulari, edge out of Georgia.
You weren't concerned about the medical stuff popping up there, Mark?
Well, that's on the Eagles. You know, they've got a gigantic life-size cutout in Howie Roseman's office of Aziz Ojulari now. So all, you know, chips to the end of the table. All right, now the Dolphins again at number 18 take Jalen Phillips, edge out of Miami, a run on edge rushers.
Very nice. Okay.
All right, now 19, where Washington was, Arizona takes Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive line, USC. They could
smart
use some
pick.
Help.
EVT. Solid. EVT. Yeah, they need help at multiple positions. It doesn't even matter where they play them.
Sensible pick.
And that gets other teams a little concerned about the offensive line scenario. So the Chicago Bears, you know, as underwhelming as possible, sitting at number 20, take Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle, Virginia Tech. That should help Andy Dalton throw for 2,500 yards and 12 touchdowns next season.
So your mock draft in some ways was a way to get another shot at Ryan Pace and the Bears organization.
Right. The Bears are in a no-win scenario here.
They can't win.
They're picking at 20. There's almost nothing they can do outside of trading for Russell Wilson that will satisfy anyone.
But there will be whispers that they tried to trade up into this top 10 area to get a quarterback, and teams just wouldn't let it happen. Number 21, the Indianapolis Colts, Tevin Jenkins. Offensive tackle, Oklahoma State. You know, they got their left tackle is retired. That's just
smart.
Immediately
got to address that line,
right? That was a need over. That was a need that they addressed right there. Number 22, the Tennessee Titans, Greg Newsom, cornerback, Northwestern.
Ooh, one of the props I was thinking of throwing in, but it seemed a little too dorky for sandwiches was over five and a half cornerbacks. I think there's going to be a lot of cornerbacks, and here's one of them.
I'm with you. All right. Now, would I like to maybe alter this for something a little maybe more logical? Yes, but I care about our show more, and I know where Dan's heart lies. Number 23, the New York Jets take Landon Dickerson, center out of Alabama. He will play 9 straight years without missing a game. Stick it, Draft Knicks.
I'm gonna do something that's never happened in the history of the Around the NFL podcast, Sandwich Prop Cut. If Landon Dickerson goes to the Jets, even though Dan didn't give it as a sandwich, I'm just going to give Dan a sandwich just for putting it out into the universe, and it gives us some excitement with the
And
Jets.
I thought about that as a sandwich prop, but I was just like, you know what? I'm already in deep on this guy. I don't need to be losing sandwiches because – you know,
I don't lose one. I don't gain one if I'm right.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. Yeah, I appreciate that. But I have, you know, checked in with some sparrows as the insider, and everyone's saying the same thing, that this guy is a first-round player that just no one's going to pull the trigger because of the injuries. Even if he was doing cartwheels with a recently repaired ACL tear during pro day, which seems crazy to me that he did that. But he also played in the championship game.
I'm taking the L just for sentimentality right there.
Thanks, buddy.
Number 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Uh-oh, Greg. Najee Harris, running back, Alabama.
Nice.
They have to. They don't have to, actually. They could go offensive line, but they don't love what's there.
They don't have to at all. I mean, you can find – how about Trey Sermon in the second round? You can find a second-round running back. Offensive line is garbage. And if there's some value there in the offensive line or cornerback or wherever –
I'm just saying in this mock draft, they don't like what happened here because a lot of offensive linemen have vanished.
The Steelers are way too sensible and boring and successful, by the way, to do it. But I still would love to see them get crazy and go get a quarterback in the first round, but it's probably not going to happen.
All right. Number 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Christian Barmore, defensive tackle, Alabama. There are concerns if he's coachable, but Urban Meyer seems to be the guy who understands the college culture and the college players, and he doesn't feel concerned about Barmore's attitude.
I mean, he understands them before they get a 5-year guaranteed, you know, contract that pays them like $30 million. We'll see if you can handle a player then. That's different here in the pros.
Number 26, the Cleveland Browns. You know, they were very into Caleb Farley, but there are, you know, the medicals are starting to become an issue. They go Gregory Rousseau, edge out of Miami. They don't think the Jadeveon Clowney is enough at that position. So let's settle down, everyone. Number 27, the Baltimore Ravens, Jalen Mayfield, offensive tackle. They got put in a little bit of a tough spot here. They had to go and look for the best lineman available out of Michigan. Greg, your Saints at number 28 take Zaven Collins, linebacker, now out of Tulsa. So if he's living in a dorm, he could just continue to live there. He doesn't even need to relocate. It's a very seamless pickup.
I mean, this guy, I think this is the Patriots under
Tulane or Tulsa?
Tulsa.
Oh, actually, right. It's Tulsa.
Did you say Tulane?
No, I said Tulsa. So he would need to leave his dorm room.
That would be weird if he stayed in Tulsa.
It is pretty far, though. He did have a pick six to win a game in overtime and against Tulane. And it is funny to watch him play Tulane. He is a 270-pound off-ball linebacker who is a valedictorian and wants to be like a doctor and looks like a man amongst boys. He is a fascinating guy. He feels like the guy the Patriots will take at 15 and everyone will go crazy because you know no one sees him going that high.
Good value for the Saints. At number 29, the Green Bay Packers take Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. They finally do what everyone hoped they would do a couple of drafts.
I feel like they're making a point now to stick it to everybody and be like, we're not going to do what you want us to do and take a wide receiver ever. I think it'd be funny if they took another quarterback. Starts just like build out that depth chart.
Yeah, I think I probably definitely got that one wrong. All right, number 30. Uh-oh, Greg. Buffalo Bills, Javonta Williams, running back, North Carolina. They love him. It's not too early to take a running back. Complete that offense.
In your draft, I already lost that running back prop, and now you're just sticking it to me. But yeah, that would be bad.
You're exactly right. Number 31, this is Baltimore's pick from the Kansas City trade for Orlando Brown Jr. They take Trevon Moehrig, safety, TCU. That's a Baltimore type.
If the Ravens have 2 first-round picks and they don't take a receiver, I mean, Lamar should start picketing outside the building or something.
Well, he will be. More chaos. We invite it. Uh-oh, last pick in the draft. We have a trade, Ricky.
Hee hee. Trade alert.
It's the laugh that's disturbing.
So does the idea that there's a trade, is that what triggers the flatulence? I don't know. Just what's the connection? I like it, but I'm curious.
Think I would actually suggest that Ricky was maybe had a little bit more to do with that part of it. So we could ask her when the time is right.
It was like a chili cook-off or something. She came straight here and.
Yeah, I bet that's what was happening.
Go ahead.
So the Bucks allow the Falcons back into this 32nd spot, and they might be dealing with this for years to come. Uh-oh, Greg. Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson. Falcons need a running back. They don't like the Jets sitting there, you know, two picks later.
Everybody's afraid of the Jets.
So three running backs in the first round. I go zero.
No, that would have been a good sandwich prop.
Yeah, that would have been bold.
Well, all right. But running nude through the quad.
Mark's 2021 mock draft.
Don't think about dogs, but I would wish them well.
That's good, Mark.
Good job, Mark.
Good.
Good stuff.
Well, Ricky,
and everyone
Ricky
accept
well.
That.
Now, how do you count a
gospel.
Win? Sorry, not to like you have to match the team with the player to count as a right answer because you had so many trades. It gets a little confusing here.
I think team right player would cover. Be a win,
yeah,
right?
The way to do it. The spot is less important, I guess.
What constitutes success there, Mark? How many getting right are you feeling like you're a winner?
19
out of 32. There it is. Okay. Yep. So we'll track that. We'll circle back on Saturday.
If he gets 19 or more, Mark should host the show for the rest of the offseason.
And then I will take
the show, host every show.
And if Landon Dickerson's one of them, I'll take one of those sandwiches and give it straight to Mark because you deserve it, my friend. All right, Ricky, let's do it.
If you, acoustics, by the way, I just found a safe space. Is this how are the acoustics?
You're safe with us, Spice Rack.
Well, I shaved 2 days ago, then you rescheduled me, but it's good to see your freaking faces. I imagine if Jonathan Williams would have taken the league by storm. You know, Tua Tagovailoa is about is fun of college football players I've ever seen in my life. This is what we're doing with the clown music here.
So it's a guy you're staking your name to.
Antoine Winfield Jr. Cole McDonald, the quarterback at Hawaii. He's a pretty good athlete, and he will absolutely
old McDonald?
Rip downfield. Cole McDonald.
Oh.
Cole McDonald.
There is the legend himself. Well, you heard Chris Wessling, a legend for all times. And Chris Wessling had a friend in the desert. In fact, we called him, this individual, Chris Wessling's desert consigliere for all things gambling. Excuse me, sports wagering. Sports betting? I don't know. Anyway, now, for I believe the fourth time on the program, here he is, Spice Rack. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast. You're muted, buddy.
We'll edit it out, but you're muted.
Don't edit it out. Mistakes happen on live television, Greg. Nobody ever told you that?
This is not
spicy.
Television. This is a podcast, but we can't see Spicy.
This isn't live on NFL Network.
Next year, we're working towards that. And, you know, Spice, I think, and you did request, feel free to introduce me as the Midwest's preeminent long shot parlay better.
All right.
Kind of like that. Let's catch up a little bit first.
Go ahead,
you are no longer in the desert, correct?
In my heart, I am, but
in your heart,
I'm there maybe once every 2 months, primarily in Cincinnati.
Yes. And yes. Cincinnati, of course, where you met the great Chris Wessling. And I know it was important to you and important to us. Before we dig into all the fun and making your annual draft predictions. And by the way, we have our fun, but Spicy is as educated as they get in turn. This man is a college football fanatic and he has good instincts. So yes, for every Jonathan Williams miss, and everybody's got miss, he's got an Antoine Winfield Jr.
I don't think that was all the way a miss.
How about old McDonald?
That was all the way a miss.
He was a seventh round pick, Cole McDonald, and he's still in the league. So, you know, he's
right.
Only played one.
He was the Cole McDonald. If you want to have a Cole McDonald pod,
on the heels of a theology pod. Relax, Greg.
All right. Okay.
He was the first player cut from the last draft.
Tough sitch. Tough sitch. Tough sitch. But anyway, before we dig into the predictions, and I want you to share your thoughts about where you're at, where you know, now a couple of months since Chris passed. I know Wes was a very important figure in your life, Spicy.
Zeus, I don't even know how to honestly, we just had a couple minutes of jokes there, but I don't even know how to transition into this, really. I mean, to say it's someone that I think about every day or like multiple times every day is such an understatement. As the red season fired up, you know, it became a little more difficult, to be honest. I mean, there's nothing that happens in a Reds game 2-3 times a game that I don't immediately think, you know, I would have texted Wes right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Shaky bullpen guy or like an intriguing young fella. You know, it's like, I mean, he's on my mind constantly. I'm sure, and, you know, I know he is, you guys too.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, Luis Castillo, the ace of the Reds who's struggling, I drafted him in my fantasy league in a way as a nod to Wes. And I was like, let's ride together with Castillo as an ace. His struggles, like, I think the same thing. I want to text Wes and talk about, is this guy going to get back on track? I mean, Wes was such a great friend, but such an amazing sports friend to just shoot the S about.
And things. Spicy, we are going to the Reds-Dodgers game today in honor of Wes. So just a little nugget right there.
Boy, I got to tell you, the Reds won each of the last two nights against the defending champs. I don't like their chances too much tonight.
Mm.
Well, Kershaw's a little more hittable than he used to be right now.
I spoke with Spicy pretty soon after, you know, Wes died, and you said something, you know, that really stuck with me about how much Wes believed in you. You know, you became friends with Wes through his family. Which Wesleyan brother was it that was like, because you're 3 years younger than Wes that you were close with, and you kind of got to know Wes as an older brother.
Yeah, no, Greg, I'm actually, I don't know, maybe six years younger than him. And the connection actually is that he was it's going to sound weird, but I used to see him a lot when I was younger. He was my neighbor's cousin's boyfriend. I know that sounds crazy, but he used to be over a lot. And then, we just clicked right away. We connected right away. I think he identified me as someone who, what was that extra level of sports obsessive. You know, he recognized a younger Chris in that regard. I'm by no means as smart as or as well-read as Wes was, but just on that sports front, just that extra level of
passion
on every front, really, right. You know, just like it never stopped. And so, I met from the second I met him, we clicked and we connected, and we were always in like regular touch, but he became someone that was like a measuring stick on every level. You know, like, we were early in the fantasy football game. Like, I always measured myself against him, and anything I ever put out to the public, I always thought to myself, you know, what would Wes think? Or if he thought it was silly, or, you know, I had to check myself a lot, and, you know, and he checked me a lot, you know, when we were younger. And I mean, I'm sort of rambling at this point, but.
No, I mean, that's, we relate to everything you're saying, especially what you said about how, you know, having a thought or a take about sports, and you kind of hoped it passed that West test because we respected him so much from that standpoint. And like, you know, when we talk about how do you honor the memory of Wes, like going to the Red Dodgers matinee today, and Lakeisha is actually going to be there with Link, and she doesn't know that we're going. So we're going to surprise her, and that's going to be a nice moment. And the fact, Spicy, that you are on the podcast today, that is honoring Wes because he did love you.
I wouldn't know all you guys. I wouldn't know all you guys, right? Obviously, without Wes. And
So Wes stays connected to us forever. And, you know, as that transition, Wes loved having you on the show. And Wes was, you heard him at the end of that clip. I think it might be the first time we played him on the show since he passed away. He was the one that called out, was that old McDonald's? Which I always love, one of my favorite lines in podcast history. So this is what we're going to do. Let's transition now.
Because if Wes can listen, he's listening right now. He wants to hear. We want to hear the Spice Rack sleepers, the guys, not even sleepers necessarily, although we welcome sleepers, of course, but the guys that Spice Rack loves and feels very confident are going to translate from one level to the top level of professional football. The runway is yours, Spicy. Take off, baby.
You know what? Let's start this runway with a let's defer to Mr. Rosenthal over there in the top right.
Whoa. Wow.
You already know. I'm saying you tell.
I hear
tell
you. Them what, I know where you're going.
Tell them what you know about me. Tell them what you know.
Well, what I know is before this college football season even started, I started getting the texts about Kyle Pitts. Before this season, that not only was he going to be the best player in the upcoming draft, but that he's maybe the best player Spice Rack has ever seen, and that he's going to change the game. And that this is, you know, pre this 2020 season. And now we're coming into the draft where basically every evaluator is right on board with you after watching that 2020 season. And I think we've almost short drifted him here because there hasn't been a tight end prospect in my lifetime with this sort of juice and sort of attention. Not Vernon Davis, not Kellen Winslow, none of these tight ends. Like you saw Kyle Pitts as a different guy before this season. I can only imagine after what he did in 2020, you feel it even stronger.
You know, thanks for the talk up there. No need to watch a Kyle Pitts highlight tape when you've already watched 15 of his games. Nah, Ricky, knock it off. This isn't the episode for that, Ricky.
Don't try to control the program. Just roll with it.
I think if she's going to play that music, she should show her face. Split Ricky? This into five.
It is a different experience being able to see Spice.
I know, Rick. I met Ricky Hollywood.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
sure.
I've seen Spicy's a big softball. Guy. Spicy, like I wouldn't have known that Spicy's like 6 foot. I don't know what he is. He's tall. He's a striking. You know, he's intimidating.
That's why Erica shut the music off. Go ahead, Spicy. What's next?
Damn straight. All right, now I feel rushed, but exactly, Ricky, exactly.
If you have anything to say on Pitt, say it. I mean,
the highest order.
You know what, Ricky? That's a bold move, and I respect it. On the Kyle Pitts front, you know, he's like, he will transform any offense from day one. He will. He's a contender. Year one to lead the NFL in touchdowns.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Now we're talking here.
It's so obvious that he's a mismatch problem. You know, he's one of the few. He might be the only tight end I've seen since Shannon Sharp to be able to catch one at 8 or 10 yards and take it 70.
Okay.
All right. Shannon Sharp was like 6'1 or 6'2. I don't know how much blocking Kyle Pitts is going to do, but certainly his run after the catch ability is.
Wait, so Spicy.
He did plenty of blocking.
I'm talking. Yeah. But, you know, who cares about that?
Right.
I don't care. I don't care if he can block.
As a Cincinnati native, the idea of Joe Burrow throwing to Kyle Pitts, do you think that's a Hall of Fame connection?
You know what? As bullish as I am on Joe Burrow now and then and everything in between, I feel more confident putting Kyle Pitts in Canton right now.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's not. Listen, okay. So I was speaking to Greg on the phone just the other, you know, maybe a week ago or so, and I was saying to him, you know, he's not like the toughest prospect to spot. He jumps off the screen. It's not one of those guys where you hear his name, and at the end of the game, he has 3 for 38. He's a problem nonstop.
Okay, let's roll on, Spicy. What else you got?
If I could stick on Pitts for a second, let me just say, I mean, I've
put him in the Hall of Fame.
Not
you
enough.
Just put him in the Hall
not
of Fame.
Enough.
What else needs to be said?
I'm telling you, as great as he is after the catch, man, in the red zone and on jump balls, I mean, he's already pretty much in a class of his own.
They could put him in this year's Hall of Fame. There, you know, right. There's a ceremony Smith. Coming up in August. You know?
Arthur Smith years. In Atlanta. I don't think he's going to get to Cincinnati. I think that's a nice fit.
All right, Spicy. Now we got to move on. We have limitations. We got to get to Dodger Stadium, Spicy. I mean, to see your Reds and root for the Reds. I forgot about so that. Let's keep rolling here.
Yeah. Is that a question?
No, what else you got? What else you got, Spicy? I know you got more.
I got a lot of guys. What are you talking about?
But your second favorite after Pitts.
Who's the mid-round guy? Or who's some – doesn't have to be mid-round, but who is a guy that you really believe in that you think will get called Thursday night in the first round?
Well, I got to tell you, I should Elijah Moore should get drafted. Again, another thing, Greg, as I was telling you the other day, I've been prone to falling in love with, you know, the undersized, shifty, punt return ability type guy, you know, the guys who light up 7-on-7 and spring games and that kind of thing. But you know, you can't change your stripes. I'm gonna stick with Elijah Moore.
He could haunt Mark. I could totally see him being one of the Ravens picks at 27 or 31 and catching like 80, 90 balls and being the guy that Lamar Jackson needs.
I don't like that at all.
I think between him and as well as Tony down at Florida, to me, both guys seem like just stud slot guys, just studs in the slot. And
who's the best quarterback in this class, Spicy?
The best quarterback?
Yeah. Is it Trevor Lawrence? Is he going to be the best pro coming out of this class? Or do you see somebody else?
Yes. No, I take Trevor Lawrence and don't think twice. Not take him. That's a given. He's going there. But as far as just
upside,
he's the most ready day one 18-year-old I've ever seen, period. He lived up to the hype immediately. He, within 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it was, overtook the starting spot from a guy who just the previous season started, a Final Four game or national, whatever it was, Final Four game, I think, Kelly Bryant, who eventually transferred to Missouri, started like immediately as a true freshman, overtook the starting spot, you know, before the end of September. And upgraded the team, you know, from day one. It wasn't a long-term play. It was right then and there. So, and the one thing to factor in with Trevor Lawrence, if he gets a clever play caller,
he's got Darryl.
Do not undersell his athleticism, just his ability to run with the football. It doesn't mean you want to run read option with him. It doesn't mean you want him lowering his shoulder in games, but this guy is fast. Like, I mean, he can like run by safeties. So, he's a slam dunk. One of the best looking prospects I've ever seen.
Who do you want to talk about? Who you want to put the Spice Rack stamp on when we're playing those clips next year? And we bring up Antoine Winfield. That was a big win. Antoine Winfield could have.
I think that's a good guy here, Spicy, because I want to help you by narrowing it down so you can focus in on it. Who is somebody in this draft that's not getting a lot of first round hype or anything like that, but you could see becoming a pretty much an immediate starter, a Pro Bowl type player, maybe even an All Pro type player? Who's that guy that people aren't quite seeing how good he is?
First of all, why hasn't Mark asked me a question?
I am just a sponge sort of soaking in the knowledge, and I mean that. But also, I'm
this podcast isn't hosted by 30 guys.
It's fair.
Well, I'm waiting to find out what we're about to talk about here. Let's go.
I'm not buying time.
Don't worry about Mark. Mark knows where to hit his spots. What I need from you right now, give me that guy, and then Sessler, I think, is going to follow up with something himself, and then everybody wins. What do you got?
Well, how about if we're talking running backs, all right, which obviously everyone knows you don't draft one early, all that stuff. And you just can't be too sure with any of these guys. And it's almost a position not worth talking about.
Sell it.
Javonte Williams at North Carolina, baby.
Yes. Ooh, okay. Let's talk.
I like him.
I watch a lot of football with now I'm telling you, I have not done the mock draft prep, or this is not what I do all day. I bet on baseball. Okay. I track about 15 baseball games a day. That's where I spend my time, you know, but I watch games. I watch more games than anybody. Just period. I watch more games than anybody. And so I'll have during college football season, like 6 or 7 screens up at once. And you can only have the volume on one. All right. North Carolina. Every time I look up at this North Carolina game, there's a dude taking 170, taking 130, or like leaning on a defense 6, 7, 11. I mean, just, you know, he just stood out to me.
Little Frank Gore vibe, I think. He's my favorite. A little bit of a young Frank Gore vibe.
But I thought, I mean, this is, you know, no disrespect to Najee Harris or even like Jared Patterson at Buffalo. I mean, Jared Patterson at Buffalo ran for like 4,000 yards on 6 yards of carry. You know, he didn't have that like all the tread and the tire. You know, he's relatively fresh, but he ran for 4,000 yards in college. I just wouldn't put it past it. I also had a 400-yard game, but he's I wouldn't put it past a guy like him either. But it's tough. I mean, if you're not a good receiver from the start out of the backfield, it's you know, you almost become not a gimmick, but you become a change of pace kind of guy, just a hammer as opposed to an all-around guy. I mean, Spencer Brown at UAB, another running back. I really like him. He has like 7 career receptions. Mm. You know, he's 5'10", 210, or, you know, 5'11", 215, or whatever the heck he is. But he's like, he's never caught the ball. So, like, he's got the size you want, but does he have everything else?
All right, Spicy. Man.
Yes.
We've talked to all offensive players.
Yes.
Learned a lot. Let's flip it to defense. In your, I'm sure they're technically sound, surefire bets. Who is the nastiest defender in this draft, in your opinion, from what you've seen?
The nastiest?
I mean, like someone that's going to come in and be like, this, the attitude of this defense now circles around this player like a son a couple years from now.
You know, Zaylen Collins at Tulsa, linebacker. Just he's one of these guys. Again, I was just talking about North Carolina games. This goes even more so with Tulsa games. It's not one I have. If I'm watching 7, 5, 6, 7 at once, I don't have the volume on a Tulsa game. Okay. But you have money on it, and you're tracking it, and you just keep seeing this guy make every single play. You know, he's not a combine warrior. He's like a as long as I live, I will never forget seeing the one and only time Khalil Mack ever played, or like the only time I ever saw Khalil Mack play. Came in with all kinds of hype. They played Ohio State in September, and I'm telling you, within the first 3 minutes, you couldn't believe what you were seeing. This guy's not like that, of course, and they play different positions and all that, but Zaven Collins at Tulsa.
A little bit of that.
He's not going to be one of these guys that flame out after 3 or 4 years. I mean, this dude's good. Here we go.
In summation, Kyle Pitts, Elijah Moore, Trevor Lawrence is as good as advertised, Javonte Williams over at UNC, Spencer Brown, another option in the backfield, Zaylen Collins from Tulsa. These are Spicy stars for 2021. And Spice, let them know where they can find you on Twitter. And I sincerely mean this, Spicy. No. I sincerely mean this. Having you on the show is like a part of Wes being here. So we love having you here. Just want to let you know that.
I felt comfortable when I met you guys. I spent maybe six, eight horrible months in Los Angeles, but I met all you guys. You know, multiple times, got to hang out with you guys. Zeus came to your home, you know, but I felt like I knew you guys from the start. So that was, you know, I mean, it was just nice.
No, that was nice. John Lennon had his lost, I think it was like a lost weekend in Los Angeles.
I think it was more than that, but it mimicked what Spicy brought to the
well, plus there was John no Lennon warning to it. It was just like one weekend, suddenly you were just like at Wes's house, and Wes was like, oh yeah, I think Spicy's hanging
Spice
out
is here.
For a few months.
If you're comparing me to John Lennon, I'll take it.
Yeah, Spice Rack.
That's my interpretation of what it was.
Look him up. We don't reveal.
Yeah,
you read.
You can read. My name is Brad Spicer. There's nothing wrong with real name.
We didn't know if it was something like a stage name, and you wanted to keep your private life private. But look him up, Brad Spicer, on Twitter. And Spicy, what's that? You okay?
No, not really. But go ahead. Go ahead, because we had this nice, you know, we had this nice finish to the show. Continue on.
No, do you have something you want to get off your chest before we say goodbye?
Probably. I already forgot what it was, though.
Okay. Maybe. All right. Save it. And then
don't
next
be upset with me. It has to do, you know, if you're going to tell me or tell people how to reach out to me, do so properly.
You want the Twitter name?
I don't want to read anything because I have underscores.
All right, this is where
that's
you find
kind of thing you guys make fun
our little diva guest here. This is where you could find Bradley Allen Spicer at @spice_rack_MD, but he's not a doctor.
Parlay doctor. I know you want to wrap it up.
We gotta go. We gotta get to
Ricky's ready to go home. I need more I need the briefest interaction with Mark Sessler, but I'm not. I mean, I don't get to see you guys anymore. Sess, for some reason, I thought going into today I was going to be talking to you a lot.
Well, look, I mean, the floor was yours, and you have my phone number. We can chat anytime, and we can, you know. The phone lines are open. I didn't want to eat up. I just did an entire mock draft before you came on. So
the Spice Rack, the reason why you didn't hear from Mark is like,
no,
Dan and I will cut in.
I'm saying right now I need some Sessler back and forth.
You really
like Mark, if you could say anything to me right now, what would it be?
Well, I'll tell you something. I remember speaking with you, in early February, and I learned a lot about your story. And I feel like when I met you in person too, that, you know, I knew the Spicy that showed up on our show a couple times, and there was something that happened in Vegas with Dan that remains a mystery. But getting to know the real Spicy, there's a lot of depth and layer to you. And I feel like even though I know you a little bit more than I did, there's so many more countries inside of you to still get to know. So the adventure continues, Spice Rack.
There you go. Is that good?
It was good. It wasn't. I wanted dialogue is what I wanted, but...
But you got a monologue instead. All right. Well, you have to settle.
Wait, from Sessler. Like wait, guys, right. Can I just say one thing? If we can go back to the early
really
days gotta
go, Spicy. Really gotta go. There's LA traffic. We gotta get to Dodger Stadium. Your Reds against the Doyers. Big game. Kershaw against Sonny Gray. It's not personal, but we really gotta go, buddy. But what do you got?
Doesn't matter. It did matter, but it doesn't matter.
No, go ahead. What do you got?
No, I'll remember this one. Don't worry about it.
All right. Spicy, you know we love you. Come back.
Yeah, I love you. Anytime. I love you too.
All right.
I love you, Spicy.
There we go. Spice
you know what? You want to know what I was going to say?
All right. Go ahead.
I'm not stalling. I literally forgot when you just asked me about 10 seconds ago.
Okay.
But it came back to me. Okay. Regarding a Mark monologue, will you gentlemen, Dan and Greg, will you agree with me that in the early days of the podcast, I'm talking some of the funniest content you guys have ever had.
Right.
Was Mark reading his doing his live reads with Mr. Flames economics class.
Yes.
I'm talking. I know that's
much
like
of our best work was very early.
I know that's a deep cut and stuff like that. No, I don't mean that. I told you about an hour ago that you're a superstar at this, okay? In the most sincere way possible.
I know, Spicy. I'm just having
fun. Do you? But
thank you,
Sess's
thank you.
Monologues, okay? Way back then. You guys agree, Greg, Dan?
Of course. Classics.
Well, we absolutely agree.
Of the classics of the
treasure.
Genre.
Okay. All right.
I love you, Spicy.
We love you,
buddy. Bye-bye. That guy is the best.
He's an experience.
Somehow after all that, though, Erica cutting him off the screen still felt abrupt. He was like
somehow
mid,
there was no
he was
way
like mid prayer. Well, that was what I was trying to say was the only reason Dan and I were the ones that talked were especially me. I'm the only one rude enough to like cut him off mid talk because otherwise it was just going to be one thing. And I wanted to, you know,
conversationally, it's not a good Mark Sessler and Spicy are not a good like yin and yang in terms of the conversation. Mark's not a guy that's usually going to jump in to try to transition or change a subject or that's just Spicy just didn't understand that.
It's
element
a lot of chaotic energy between the
right,
two.
I wasn't
them.
Trying to like ignore him if that's what he, I mean, when we've spoken in person, I really liked our talks, but I didn't want to pull us out of orbit because I thought he was, you know,
your post-game thoughts on Spicy's latest appearance.
That was great.
I love it. And
no, I want your actual thoughts, Erica. Share them. Come on.
No, I just, I feel like I need like maybe a Xanax or something to like calm down a little bit. Cause I was like a little.
brings a live wire.
Yeah.
Into the proceedings.
I love it though. I love him. He's great.
Yeah. And he really like in the days after West passed, you know, I wish my conversation with him was as meaningful as with anyone, just hearing what he meant to Wes. So we're all going through that. That's part of it too. We're all going through that. And like, he really looked up to him as a mentor. And when he said like Wes believing in him, and he gave some examples from his life, like that really resonated with me. Cause I know that's true for a lot of people. Like when mm-hmm. Wes believed and showed like the confidence in them as a person, like how much that meant. So we have that in common too. And I can't wait till next year's draft prospects when this chaos happens again.
Ricky, when you have to cut together the clip of Best of Spicy, I feel like there's going to be a lot of options from this this particular episode in 2021. All right, here we go. Yes, awesome. We're heading to Dodger Stadium. We're going to surprise Lakeisha and Link. It's going to be great. Erica, you're driving, right? So yeah. You can come pick me up whenever you can. And then we'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night, late night. Check your podcast app of choice, and it will be there, our round one recap. So that's the next time you'll hear this show. So everybody get ready. The wait is over. The draft is here. Thank you to Spice Rack. Thank you to you, the listeners. And we will see you in about 36 hours with more podcast content breaking down. Finally, round one of the 2021 NFL Draft. Until then, heed the call.